Okay, so we're in the middle of Mefarshim. So let's just review the pasuk, and so then we'll go to the I think up to the Radak. Let's see. So Perek Yud Beis pasuk Yud Beis on page 182 in Gilad Oven Achshav Hayu. We learned yesterday it's Gilad. If you're going to discover that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring a Churban to Gilad. Oven means a churban, destruction. If you're going to witness in the near future a great churban that will come upon Gilad, achshav, it's not for nothing. Achshav, it's only because the people there, they live a life of vanity. It's because they deserve it. They are involved in things which are nonsense. Although the zara hayu, achshav hayu, the people there are people of shav. Oivdei avoy de zara. Period. And then it says the second concept, the second problem with the Jewish people. Bagilgal shvarim zibeichun. Gilgal, they have sacrificed many sacrifices to what? So we learned yesterday two mefarshim, to avodah zarah. They have worshipped shvarim. They have sacrificed oxen to avodah zarah. Gam mizbichosam kagalim al talmei sadai. And they have built in Gilgal so many altars that they appear to be like galim, like mounds, unlimited number of altars. Al Talmei Sodai, we discussed yesterday at length what this means, along the furrows of the field. The word Sodai is an unusual word. It means a field. And we learned this very fascinating parish in the Sif Sei Zekenim. He learns in Rashi that the word Sodai refers to the actual groove in the ground. And we developed yesterday the idea of Shakai. Shakai, the Shem Hashem, Shin Dalad Yud, is related to this concept when it says in the Siv Sei Zekenim that the word Sodoi is the actual indentation, the actual opening, the void, the groove in the ground. Now, what we have not done yesterday, at least what Rashi has not done, and what the Mitzvah Stavod has not done, they have not linked together the two sins presented in this pasuk. We've mentioned there's a sin in Gilgal and there's a sin in Gilad. Two separate locations, two separate regions, two separate cities, and these are two separate, according to Rashi and the Mitzvot, there's no hint that these two sins are related one to the other. And Hashem says there are going to be consequences for what is taking place. Now, if you look at the Farshim, we're going to see over here that there is indeed a very interesting relationship between Gilad and Gilgal, and it's going to force us to review exactly what is the sin. What exactly does it mean they built altars in Gilgal? So let's see over here the Radak first. The Radak pasuk Yud Beis. The Radak says in Gilgal Aven in Gilad Heichal Asoyis Aven Shemichel Asoyis Harat Chila. The first one's the sin was Gilgal. Achshav nuchali lahadbikoy lemala. Okay, this is the grammar. Okay, shayel tamoy al Gilad shazocha v'ya ha'inyan kafel b'miloshanis o yutamoy davak im b'Gilgal. Okay, it's going over here. Let's leave out the grammar. Let's go to the next Dibur Hamaschil. Ba'Gilgal shavarim zibeichu. So here the Radak is the first one, at least what we're learning, it's coming to connect the dots. Gilgal is near Gilad. Rak hayardin hoya b'neim. Okay, so Eretz
HaGilad. According to the map that I'm looking at here, as we said yesterday, Gilgal is near Gilad.
Okay.
The point of entry, right?
And Gilad's Ever Hayardin.
Yes.
Correct. So Gilad was given here. That's what the Radak is saying. The Radak exactly makes that point. He says even though it's on the other side of the Yarden, and you'd expect they would have nothing to do with one another, the other side of the Yarden was given to Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven, Chas, Yishev, and Menashe. Right? They got a portion of the Eiver HaYarden, those two and a half Shvatim, and Gilgal, and Gilad are separated by the Yarden. Rak hayarden b'neim, v'lamdu ha'mamaseim, and yet they learned, but according to the Radak, they were close enough. Even though the Yarden separated them, they still traveled across one to the other.
And it looks like Gilgal from here, it looks like that's a city, but Gilad is
a region. It's a region, correct, okay. So it says in Gilad is where it started. And Gilgal was nearby, and the people in Gilgal, they learned, they were influenced by the deeds of Gilad. V'chelu la'avoid avoid zara, k'mohem v'la'asois oven v'shav. V'zivku, and they sacrificed shvam l'avod zara, b'mokim shasum mizbech la'ashem yisparach, v'yishkinu sham ha'mishkan t'chilo, achas shavu sayardein. That we discussed yesterday, that the place where they put the Mishkan when they crossed over the yard, that was the Gilgal. Sham zibchu shvarim lavo dezar. There, I guess to add insult to injury, is that they bedafka chose that location to set up mizbechos to worship the idols. Let's read one more line, and we'll come back and explain this in more detail. Gam mizbechosam gagalim al tal misadoy lo dai. It's not enough they had a central mizbeach to worship idols in Gilgal, but in addition, gamhim bonu chutz leir mizbechais rabim nirim kegale avonim al talmi hasadis, like piles of stones. He learns not like what we learned. So he has also a whole new interpretation, a whole new. We learned until now, we're referring to the furrows, the galim. We learned was the furrows. He's not learning that. That's how Rashi Beferish, that's how the Sifsi Zakenim we learned yesterday, dwelt upon that. He's learning over here means piles of stones. They're just stones lying all over the place. Galim are piles of stones along the Talmei Hasadeh, along the mounds of the fields. Sadai, the most Sadim, okay, he learns it means a field. Okay, we'll leave it out. So what is the depth, what is the significance of this parish? First thing over here is that the Radak is connecting the two together. The sin of Avodah Zarah started in Gilad. And the people living in Gilgal, they were influenced by the people across the Yarden. Now this is ironic. Why? Because when we came into Eretz Yisrael, before they crossed the Yarden, there was a requirement for the people in the Eved HaYarden to erect stones, massive stones. Upon them were written the words of the Torah, and it says Beferish in the Yoshua, and also in the end of Devarim, Rashi explains is that there was a very great fear that over time the 2.5 Shvatim on the other side of the Yarden would not be recognized as part of Klal Yisrael. Since they're not living in the main part of Eretz Yisrael, there on the other side of the Yarden, they chose that land because they wanted space for their animals, they wanted to be near the burial of Moshe Rabbeinu, but over time people forget about the history, and they look at them as outsiders. They don't view their own brothers, Reuven, Gad, Chatzis, Shevet Menashe, as being part of the main part of Klal Yisrael, and it would lead to, who knows what, it could lead to a war, it can lead to complete separation. Therefore, they were instructed to build these massive monuments on the other side of the Yarden, which clearly indicated that they are part of Klal Yisrael. So the danger was they would have nothing to do one with the other. That was a real...
They have to bring their...
Of course. Well, Eivir, there's a whole question. What Kedusha, what status does the Eivir HaYarden have with regard to Meiser? Meiser and Truma and Bikurim, that's a separate issue. But they're still Jews. Whatever it is, even the worst scenario, they're still full... There's the Aliyah LeRegel, they're still full-fledged Jews. The danger was they would be treated like second-class citizens because they were not living in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe the people who live in Eretz Yisrael, they resented it. They felt that, you know, you're not like today. Today, anyone who doesn't, if you're in the army in Eretz Yisrael and you see someone in the street who doesn't go to the army, there's a resentment. Why am I risking my life for you when you don't reciprocate, right? That's a natural, it's human nature.
I think the problem is the other way.
Okay, fine, whatever the problem is. The problems go all the way. They go all the way, both ways. Correct, you are correct, fine. But whatever it is, there was a resentment. This was a real danger from the very, very beginning. Chazal make it very, very clear. In order to nip it in the bud, Chazal said you had to go put up these big, massive monuments on the other side of the Yarden.
The Matzeh,
right. It's in the Torah. Chazal explained. Chazal said, what was the purpose? The purpose of the Matzevos was in order that there should not be pirud between these two segments of Klal Yisrael. So you... I don't know, okay, whatever. Okay, that's another topic. Whatever it is. But there was a real danger. And look what's happening over here. Not only was there not a danger, Not only did it not happen, they had nothing to do with one another. They had too much to do with one another. There was too much. And what was too much? When the people in Gilad started worshipping idols, oh, let's also worship idols. So in Gilgal, which was right over the Arden, the first stop where they set up the Mishkan for 14 years, the first location, they were influenced. They were influenced directly by the behavior of the sinners in Gilad, and that disease spread. So the disease in Gilad, the influence of Gilad, spread all the way to Eretz Yisrael. The opposite of what you anticipated is that the people of Gilad would have absolutely no connection to the Jewish people. Not only do they have a connection to the Jewish people, the sins that they did, it trickled down all the way, even eventually to Yehuda. Because we know that the sins of the Aseret HaShvatim did trickle down to Yehuda at a later point in time. So it's ironic is that you never think, like whatever you think of the future, people were saying to someone yesterday, you told me, you're always afraid of the future. You're always afraid. You're afraid of the unknown. And the greatest unknown in this world is the future. And then when you look back in hindsight in life, the way the future played out is never, ever, ever the way you thought it would happen. When you were afraid and in your mind you saw all the various scenarios, what could be? I don't know what the future is going to bring. So what could happen? Either A, B, C, D. And then in hindsight, after time passes, you look back, it was none of the above. The way things played out is always different, it's always unexpected. Here as well, we come into the Torah says, put up the matzevas, we want it to be achdus. It would have been better had there not been achdus. Had there not been achdus, then the sins of Gilad would not have spread to the major part of Klal Yisrael. That's the irony that's being presented here, at least according to the Radak. Now the Malbim has something very different. He has a very fascinating connection between the two. Pasuk Yud Beis, Im Gilad Oven, Ach Shav Hayu, Shekvar Hisboi Lamala. Shekol HaNeviim, so he's going back to what he said in the previous passage, Shekol HaNeviim, on page 183. Shekol HaNeviim, Talmidei Elio Nergu B'Gilad. So Gilad was the other side of the Yarden, and that's where Elio HaNavi had his yeshiva. He was like of Aaron Kotler. He wanted to make a yeshiva away from civilization. You have to go travel an hour and a half all the way to Lakewood, far, far away, and look what happened. Worse than Brooklyn. The traffic is worse. The Gashmi is worse. Okay, the problems there are. But Elio HaNavi had his yeshiva in a location that's far away from the major part of Klal Yisrael. It's interesting, that's where the yeshiva was, in Gilad, on the other side of the Arden. That's where he trained. That's where he trained his prophets. And what happened in Gilad? They murdered. In the time of Ahav and Izebel, they sought out, they were on a crusade to murder all of the prophets. But there was a guilt complex. The guilt complex was, look what we did, we murdered prophets. So what do they do to make up, to take away their guilt? They offered sacrifices to who? So I have to read it clearly, read it again. Some of them, they learned to Hashem, Kav Yochel, to bribe Hashem. Hashem, don't be angry at us that we killed all your prophets. We're really good people. We'll bring sacrifices to you to compensate for our sins of killing the prophets. Is that the pshat, or they worship in Gilgal? It's the Lisi and Sardis is there. Shekol HaNeviim, Talmid Echa Elio, Nergu B'Gilat. There's a Shom, Hoyu Moshev Elio, Shom, Harga, and there, Harga, Izevel, Es, Nevi Hashem. Shal Zeomar Shom, Gilad, Kiryas, Poale Oven, Akuba Midam. In Gilad is a city of evildoers. The blood, their ankles are soaked in blood. There's so much bloodshed that the blood is ankle high. The Zehu Sha'amar Im Gilad Mola Oven. Now that's Pshan the Pasim. Gilad is Mola Oven. Laharagas and Neviim. Im Kain Achshav. If in Gilad there is sin, Achshav Ulchinim Hoy. So he's learning Pshan the Pasik. If we find that in Gilad, Izebel and Achav, they murdered the prophets, Achshav, it was for no good reason. It was a terrible mistake to execute the prophets. Ki al yidei kchein bagilgal shivarim zibechu kisha mispar bnei hanavim shahargu zibchu shvar bagilgal lavoy dezara. When the number sheke mispar bnei hanavim shahargu kama, corresponding corresponding, it's a little tricky how to put, we do translate the words, corresponding to the number of prophets that were murdered in Gilad, they compensated by foolishly offering Zibchu Shivarim Bagilgol La'avoydezara, they kimu mizbechois labal, mizbeach upar la'oila l'chol novi asher hargu. Vizehu sh'omar, gam mizbechois kagalim were like, let's say the furrows were like stones, al talmis sodoi, sh'choshvu sh'bezeh yiratzu dam nevi'im hanishbochim. Every mizbeach in Gilgal was named after a prophet that was murdered in Gilad. So there was a direct connection between two. It's bizarre.
Explain that as a, you say it's a compensation.
I don't know.
Like it's compounding the sin.
Compounding the sin. So I don't know. That's what I thought it would be easier to say. That's when I read this the first time and before we prepared. Is that like they were trying to, they made these mizbechois to Hashem. And they were trying to say, yeah. Hashem, we're good people. Look, we give a lot of tzedakah.
You know, saying it tongue in cheek in a way. I mean, how bad they are. You know, they think carbon offsets.
We're saying what they did, it was just business.
Right, exactly. It was just business. So Hashem, don't be angry at us. And to prove it, look, we made a monument for them. We made this beautiful mizbeach. Every mizbeach had, you know, like go to the cemeteries, they have pictures now on the matzevos.
Right.
They had the picture of the murdered prophet. And they offered a sacrifice in honor of that prophet, and why? So either it's either that's not what it says. It's not what it says. The Malbim to Hashem, as if to say, like you said, Ribbono Shel Olam, don't be angry. We kill them. It's just business, right? Just exactly, yeah. Just business.
Closer, a closer analogy would be what they do with the terrorists.
They build for them the Palestinians. They name streets and they made buildings after terrorists. It's exactly what it says here. And where was the center? In Gilgal. In Gilad is where the murder took place. And in Gilgal is where they memorialized these victims. In some, whatever this means, I don't know what it means. Either they just went further with their nonsense. Why would they have to go build an altar and name it after a prophet and offer sacrifices to the gods? Somehow, there was some type of guilt, and this is how it expressed itself by building altars. They, in their crazy minds, they imagined that by building an altar, even if they did something wrong by murdering a prophet, by building an altar, L'shem Avodah Zarah, naming that Mizbech after a person who they killed and offering a sacrifice to the god, all is forgiven.
Devil had to appease her soldiers. She commands them to go out and kill wantonly.
Yeah.
And they're following orders, which doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But this appeases them. Oh, we're doing it for the Avodah Zarah. So.
And to emphasize, they build an altar and they name the altar after a person.
How can we understand these soldiers?
Where's the source of this?
I don't know. I have over here is.
Yeah, that they, it was the Mizbechos that was.
It doesn't say for who it is. All I have here is this one line.
Quickly reading it without thinking, it sounds like to me like they're saying it that he was the carbonists were into Hashem. They were to the Avodah Zarah.
Yeah, that's what it says. It says Avodah Zarah. So I it says Avodah Zarah. See, to me, it would make more sense if the Malbim would say that they had a guilt complex, like what Michal said. It was just business. They killed holy people. Then they wake up the next morning. What do we do? What do we do? We're crazy? We killed a holy prophet? So they have to legitimize it. How do they legitimize? Like what Michal said. We're really good people. We're tzaddikim. These people, they were in our way. They were roitfim. They were tzaddikim, but they had issues. And they had to be eliminated. And to show Hashem that we're really good. We're really good people. We're going to build a beautiful mizbeach and offer sacrifice to Hashem to show Hashem we're tzaddikim, and we're going to try to memorialize the people that had to die, because they were problematic. He doesn't.
Let's say. Keep a Gilgal, Makom,
Sha'omar Hamik. No, he's not connecting it. He's not.
That's why they went to Gilgal.
No, that's what we discussed yesterday. That's what we discussed yesterday. The pshuta shel mikra of the mitzvah stav is according to what the commentators tell us is that being that Gilgal was the first stop where they erected the Mishkan, it was a place of great intensity of Kedusha. And when they moved on later to Shiloh for 369 years, so the place, it left a void. We spent the whole day on this yesterday.
No, I understand.
The Mitzvahs. No, I don't think so. It doesn't seem that the Malbim and the Mitzvahs see eye to eye. They seem like they're saying two very different ideas. The Mitzvahs is not connecting them at all. He's just saying there was a tragedy in Gilad. And also he learns that the tragedy is that Gilad doesn't even talk about the Avera. He says, if you are going to witness soon in the near future, Sancheriv come and wipe out Gilad, there will be a Holocaust in Gilad. Don't have questions. Your emunah should not be challenged because ach shav hayu. These people were empty people. They were reshoim. They deserved what they got. That's all he says. And then he goes on to say another concept. Bagilgal shivarim zibechu. By the way, in Gilgal, the people there are also misbehaving. And there they're offering oxen to Avodah Zarah. And they're building altars. And there are so many altars, kagalim al talmei sodoi, like stones on the furrows of the field. This is the parish of the Mitzudos. The Malma is saying something completely different. The Malma over here has come to tell us that in Gilgal, there is murder. In Gilad, Izevel and Achav have committed the ultimate sin of murder. Oven, they've murdered the prophets. Why? Were the prophets sinners? Did the prophets rebel against the Malchus? They did nothing wrong. They were victims. They were innocent bystanders. Ach, Shav Hayu. This act of murdering the prophets was an act of nonsense. It was a pure sin. And what did the people do? What did the murderers... What?
They spoke up against the evil.
Well, they were evil. Well, the Malchus was evil. They had a right to speak up against the Malchus. Okay, they had a right to. And then the next words of the pasuk tell us, "Vagilgol shivodim zibehu." They had a guilt complex. Why do we do this? We killed holy people for no good reason. And what? And how did they respond? They responded by compounding their evil with more evil, by making altars and designating these altars in the name of each one of the prophets. And offering sacrifice, the Malbim says, to Avodah Zarah, and somehow that made them feel good about their crime. And the words, look at the word. The word, these are very interesting words of the Mitzudos, the second to last line of the Mitzudos on page 183, Kimispar b'nei hanavim, equal to the number. If we killed 1,000 prophets, so we're going to erect 1,000 mizbechai shahargu kama, corresponding to that number, the number of prophets that were murdered, zibchu shivarim ba'gilgal la'avodah zarah. They offered 1,000 oxen to Avodah Zarah in Gilgal, and they didn't just offer an ox just on the open field, in the street. Ve'hekimu mizbechois la'bal. So you're saying they offer these mizbechois to the Baal, that's the Avodah Zarah. Mizbeach upar la'oila l'chol Navi Asher Hargu. Each Mizbeach was designated for a specific prophet who was murdered by Izevel's people. Okay, this is a very...
They must have cleaned up Gilgal later, because Gilgal was gathered by Shmuel when the people wanted him to melt.
That was early. We're talking about later is when all the problems began. Izevel is much later than Shmuel. Gilgal started out good. Gilgal was a very good place. For 14 years, there were tzaddikim. That's where the Mishkan was. And things did not turn sour until much later. Shmuel, Achav and Izevel is much later. So the problems began later. So the bottom line over here is, we have over here basically three mahalchim in this pasuk. We have the mahalach of Rashi and the Mitzudois, which learn does not give us any clue that Gilad and Gilgal have anything to do with one another. And in fact, when they say the word, they both agree that when it says Gilad Oven, it's referring to the Chorban that's coming upon Gilad. And Hashem is telling Klal Yisrael, do not be challenged in your emunah why such a terrible thing has happened. The people deserved it. According to Radak, Radak is not learning like this. He's telling us that in Gilad, Oven, there were sins. They did terrible sins. Achshav, for no good reason. Okay, we learned there, he says, he doesn't really translate those words, but he basically says they've done terrible sins, and there is a connection. And the sins of Gilad were contagious. It spread. It spread across the Yarden to Gilgal. The sins of Gilgal was people who in Gilgal who sinned was because they were influenced by the evil that was happening in Gilad. That's all it says. And the Malbum is very elaborate. He adds in here things that we would never imagine. And yes, I'm sure he must have a source for this, but I don't have any idea. Is that in Gilad there's a very particular sin. And the sin that we're discussing is the assassination or the murder of the Nevi'e Eliyahu, Eliyahu's prophets. And the people felt guilty, so what did they do? They dedicated Mizbechois Labal in Gilgal. It was all part of the process.
That was they were thanking God for being able to do this.
Okay, maybe
they got away with it, so they were doing the right thing in their mind.
Okay, could be.
So that's the way I'm looking at it.
The two of these things are directly linked. This is very interesting
how they're proud of their accomplishment.
All right, that's how he connects these psukim. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. Next pasuk, Yud Gimel. Yud Gimel is the Haftarah. This should sound familiar.
Yes.
Okay, this is the Haftarah for Ashkenazim, because until now we were reading psukim, which was not our Haftarah. That was our Haftarah for Sfardim. We have Sfardim here in here. We went through some psukim here, but here this is very familiar. This is Parshas Vayetze.
Yeah.
Parshas Vayetze, now we begin the Haftarah. Vayivrach Yaakov stay Aram. Yaakov, he fled to the field of Aram. Vayavoid Yisrael. Now we change his name from Yaakov to Yisrael. Be'isha, for a woman. Who did he start work for? He worked for Rachel for 7 years. And then he was fooled by Lavan. And Lavan said, Male Shvuazois, let's finish the Sheva Brachos. And then you can immediately marry Leah on credit. And you'll work for another 7 years. That's how Rashi learns of Isha Shamar. And then he went, he was Shamar. He guarded, he worked for another 7 years. So you can see the Rashi, let's review. There's a machlokes we show him exactly what happened with Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov, everyone agrees, when Yaakov came to Lavan, he first worked for 7 years. He was then fooled. He thought he was marrying Rachel. Lavan tricked him. Lavan gave Yaakov Leah. Yaakov the next morning discovered what happened, and what did he say to Lavan? Why did you trick me? And what happened next? So Rashi, I don't know if anyone disagrees, but Rashi says, immediately after the Sheva Brachos, Yaakov married Rachel.
Right.
And then Yaakov worked for the next 7 years for Rachel. So that means Leah, it was COD. Cash on delivery, right? He paid in full. He worked 7 years to marry Leah, the first one. He really wanted Rachel, but he ended up marrying Leah. So Leah was paid up. It was paid in full. Rachel was on credit. That's what it was. It was on credit. I have to work. I'm going to marry her right now, and I'm going to work for the next 7 years. That's very interesting because when you deal with the children, that has a ripple effect in the spiritual makeup of Klal Yisrael. When you deal with the children that came through Leah, which is basically everyone except everyone, because even the Shvachas, the same thing Shifra as well. So, but the children that came through Leah have been paid in full. The children of Yaakov that came from Rachel and Bilhah, there's an element of credit where HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with those children. Hashem gives them things in advance with the expectation that we will pay in full. We will reciprocate and we will pay our debt. Sometimes Hashem operates with Midas HaDin, and Din means you only get what you deserve. If you don't pay in advance, you're not getting delivery. And sometimes Hashem operates with Midas Rachamim. I will give you in advance now. I'll give you now. And I have an expectation that you will be true to your word and you will pay up your debt in the future. There's trust. Rachamim always involves trust. I'll be good to you now. I trust you that you will do what I want you to do. Din, you don't need trust. If a person pays cash, here's the money. Now deliver, you don't need to come on to trust. I've paid in full. And Hashem deals with Klal Yisrael, every individual and every Shevet HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a different Hanhaga. Each one of the Shvatim we know had their own Nusach. Chazal say they had their own Nusach HaTfilah. Today we have only few Nuschos. And even the few Nuschos that we have, really, it's all really the same thing. Just a few nuances, just very, very minor, more or less. But it used to be, Chazal say, each Shevet had their own Nusach HaTfilah. The Nusach HaTfilah is a very personal relationship with Hashem. What are your expectations? How many times in your Nusach HaTfilah are you mevakish rachamim? And how many times in the Nusach HaTfilah do you say to Hashem, we deserve it. Give it to us because we deserve it. If you look at the tefillah, sometimes we say to Hashem, you know, you owe us. Zuchosavais, or this. And sometimes in tefillah we say, Hashem, you know, we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. Please show us rachamim. Well, each Shevet had a different relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and part of it is built based upon this concept of that the Shvatim that came through Leah, just like in the Olam HaTeva, when he married her, he paid for her in advance. So there's din. There's an entitlement, so to speak. And with regard to Rachel, no. There was no entitlement. There was trust. I'll give you Rachel now on the condition that you promise to work for me for 7 years. And now you'll tell me, but the whole thing is not fair to begin with because he really worked for Rachel and he never wanted Leah. You're right. All of these things...
Well, that's why he gave it to me.
Right. All of these things intermingle. All of these things, they play out one way or another, but it gets very complex. But you have to first start with the basic facts and then work backwards and see how all of these things interplay. That's why it's very interesting in this pasuk, the different choice of language for the first Isha and the second Isha. The first Isha is Vayavod. Vayavod means he worked in the past tense. In the past tense, I worked hard. I was here for 7 years. Now it's time for me to get married. And Lavan gave him one wife. The second wife, he did not work. Shomor. He guarded. Now guarded, that's a word which needs clarification, but it's not the same thing as vayavod. When you contrast the word shomor with the word vayavod, you're going to come to the conclusion it means, I don't deserve it. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. There is an anticipation.
Yeah, right. Leil Shomor
Leil, the night of anticipation. So he got her immediately, but it wasn't deserved. He had to work for another 7 years in order that it should be his. It should be fully his property. Now, a woman is not your property. I don't mean in that fashion. I just mean is that was the arrangement. So there's a change of language with regard to each one of these women. One, of course, is Leah, and the second is Rachel. To support what Rashi says, Male Shavua Zois, finish the Sheva Bracha, 7 days of celebration, and then immediately I'll give you Rachel, and you'll stick around for another 7 years paying off your debt.
Okay, but why would suddenly... Yes. Come to this.
So Rashi explains. So Rashi, why are we coming to this over here? So Rashi, we'll see Rashi in a moment. Let's just do the Mesudas and we'll explain. Rashi is the best of all the Perushim to explain what this is all about. First, let's see the Mitsudos. On page 185, Vayivrach Yaakov. Yaakov fled. Who was he running away from? He was running away from Esav. Haloi kishabarach Yaakov mibnei Esav el Aram oz ovat lelovan bavor Isha. Who was the Isha? He Rachel. Now here Rashi is telling us the poverty. Rashi, or I'm reading now the Mitzudos, page 185, the Mitzudos. So Rashi over here says that what is it telling us over here? This all was to teach us that Yaakov Avinu was in the state of poverty. Eliphaz robbed Yaakov. Esav sent Eliphaz to kill Yaakov. Eliphaz was a student of Yaakov. Eliphaz said, I can't kill you, but what should I do? And I go back home, my father's going to kill me. Oh? Eliphaz was a student of Yitzchak. Okay, I'll take it back. So he said, what am I going to do now? I can't go kill you. So he said, so take away my money. Oni choshuv kmes. Take away my money, and that way you have fulfilled murder. Oni choshuv kmes. V'chol zohim gadol onyoi. This was due to his poverty. Kibo biyodayim reikonyos. He came to Lavan with empty hands, with nothing. Choymer haloi chosab b'chush gadol. And look what happened over here. So here the Mitzvah is coming to answer your question. Michal is coming to show the incredible chesed. Is it Amber Alert?
I guess so. Do I have to sound it? It doesn't matter if your phone...
Emergency alert.
No, my phone does not make an alert. It's my phone.
Okay, so what happened over here? According to the Mitzudos, the reason why we have this pasuk here is it continues the theme of all of the psukim in these parakim to express Hashem's infinite chesed that Hashem has done with us, and to contrast Hashem's chesed with our betrayal. Hashem has been so good to Klal Yisrael, and we have been so bad. We have betrayed him. One of the examples of Hashem's kindness is to show us that Yaakov, our roots, we started out with nothing. We started out with Yaakov Avinu did not have a penny to his name. He was destitute to the point where the most basic thing in life of getting married, even that he couldn't do. The most basic thing in life, entitlement. The first thing in the Torah, the most basic thing in life, fundamentals of life, even that he had to work as a slave for 14 years. At kedekach, that's how poor Yaakov was. And yet, when Yaakov left, when Klal Yisrael, they left Mitzrayim, 600,000, in the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we were 600,000 people strong, with infinite wealth. All of the wealth of Egypt was transferred to Klal Yisrael. So look at the chesed. Hashem took us from rags to riches. And how have we reciprocated? By worshipping idols, by abandoning Hashem, by doing the worst averos possible. That's the whole pshat in the pasuk. That's what the Mitzvah says. The whole point over here is to bring out our betrayal of the Ribbono Shel Olam. How then you can say, Ach Asharti Matsasi Oinli? How then, it goes back to what it said in the previous sukkim, how then can you say that Koichi V'Oitzem Yadi Osli Asachai Lazeh, the wealth, my wealth is only due to my success? That's nonsense. Hashem has given you wealth. Look at Yaakov Vidal Piderech Hatev. Yaakov should have remained, was destitute. And look how his nation became wealthy. What?
But they might feel that this happened to Yaakov, but it didn't happen to them. They were not...
Okay,
you know,
but
you don't appreciate
that's
that.
Why you study history. History repeats itself. History teaches you lessons.
I know, but a lot of times you don't
you're in a
different environment.
You're
in
a different world.
It's
a different world today. You can't go tell me what it was in the years ago. You're right. That's obviously the problem.
Every generation says that. Okay. I think it's true. For every generation, it's a different world.
Okay, it's definitely true. It's true. That's part of the sign. But part of our obligation is to dwell, is to focus on the past and try to learn the lessons from the past. That's exactly why you learn Navi. Learning Navi, part of it, a good part of it is to learn the lessons of history. Binu shenois dar dar. It's a mitzvah deraisa, it's a mitzvah de Torah. Binu is to understand. Rav Huna says that Jewish history, a person who studies Jewish history, he's mekayim a mitzvah deraisa of Talmud Torah. It's unbelievable chiddush to say such a thing. You take out a Beryl Wine's book on history and you read history, you learn what happened. That's also chilk of Talmud Torah. Binu shenois dar dar. Look how things played out. Look how Hashem is in control of the world. And look how there are consequences for our actions. And there's reward for good deeds. Now, this is a mitzvah. The Rashi is similar but different. Rashi, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayivrach, Yaakov, Sede Aram, Ke'odam, Sho'omer, Nachzor, Al-Harishonos. Rashi, we're going backwards, like a parak back. If you remember, not that long ago, we learned about the story of Yaakov, how he prevailed over the Malach. Yaakov, Vayeovek Ish Iloi Ad Alois HaShochar, when Yaakov returned to Esav. So once we discuss Yaakov, let's discuss some other stories, episodes in the life of Yaakov. Even though this episode of Ayivrach Yaakov Stearam goes back, is before, chronologically, is before the story we learned a parak ago, back of the fight, the wrestling match between Yaakov and the Sar Shel Esav. Ki Adam Sheomer, like a person who says, we've gone off on a tangent, let's get back to the topic. Let's return to our studies. Ki Adam Sheomer L'chavet Nachzor Al HaRishonos. Shedibarnu L'mala, we pair back in Pasuk Hey, in this parak, Vayosar El Malach. Yaakov prevailed upon the Malach. The Oid Zos Asisi Lo. Now this pasuk says, let me tell you another kindness I have done with Yaakov Avinu. Shehutrach Livrech Stearam. He had to flee to Aram because Esav wanted to kill him because he got the brachos from Yitzchak. Yidatem Eich Shemartiv. So here it says, here according to Rashi, the focus is Hashem protected Yaakov in an environment, in a dangerous, hostile environment. Yaakov Avinu Pederech Hatev should have been killed. Should have been killed by Esav's by Esav's army, by Eliphaz, when Yaakov fled from Esav. It was Lamala Miderech HaTeva that Yaakov survived. When Yaakov went to sleep, it was a place of wild animals. He made for himself a marizev around his head. It was a dangerous midbar he was traveling through. It was a miracle he survived. Lavan worked tirelessly for 20 years to destroy Yaakov. It's not for nothing we say in the Haggadah, Arami Oyved Avi. The Arami, Lavan, he tried his best to destroy my father, Yaakov, according to the simple translation of the words of the Haggadah, Yaakov Avinu. He literally tried every way possible to destroy Yaakov. That means physically, spiritually, financially, you name it. He tried it. He tried to do it. And there's so many different interpretations in Chazal, Mikotze L'Kotze, so many Mamari Chazal trying to illustrate in every dimension how Lavan tried to destroy Yaakov, and Al Piderech HaTeva he should have succeeded. He should have succeeded 100 times over, and it's only because Hashem guarded Yaakov Avinu did he survive. So the same idea. Look at the chesed I have done for you. I protected you. And look how you have reciprocated by betraying me. Uvi Isha Shamar Es Hatzoin, he guarded, what did he guard? So the Rashi, Alder Pshat says, he guarded what? What did he guard? He guarded his duty. I translated originally, it's his obligation. He guarded his duty to Lavan, to work for him for 7 years in order to earn the right to marry Rachel.
So that different
right. So here he says, Alder, that, to anticipate. Rashi there says to anticipate. So Rashi is a very literal translation. Shamar, to guard the sheep. That's what he did. I told you Shamar means he guarded his duty, his obligation. He was truthful. But Rashi says very simply, he guarded sheep. He was a shepherd for 7 years in order to earn the right to marry Rachel. Let's see the Radak. Radak and Pasik Yud Gimel, Vayivrach Yaakov, Vehem Einam Zoichim Hatoiva Shasisi Im Aviem Sheborach Mibnei Esav Achiv. The same idea. Everyone is saying the same idea of Yaakov. The Shmarach is trying to illustrate the betrayal. The way you illustrate betrayal is to show how good I have been to you, to magnify my chesed and contrast my chesed with your behavior, and then the betrayal is clear. Vayavoid Yisrael Beisha. He had to work. What kind of nonsense is that? A man has a right to get married, right? It's the most basic right in this world to get married. And Yaakov Avinu was not allowed to get married. He was withheld from marrying a woman because he had to work for her for 7 years first. That's not fair. That's not darko shel olam to do something like that.
Right,
Misham ba'isha u'nchas mir, I guard him, I took care of him, everything, I was so good to Yaakov Avinu, despite all of his difficulties, despite nature, he survived and he thrived. Now let's see Malbum. Malbum, what?
There's another level of Shomar.
Yeah.
In love on Garti.
Yeah, shamarti. I guarded it. Oh, so you want to say over here, very nice. You want to say, shamar means I guarded the tayag mitzvahs, even though I was working for this conniver in this environment. Okay, interesting. The word shamar also refers to the tayag mitzvahs. The tzoin, his duty, he anticipated, anticipation.
Yaakov had a very, very difficult life.
Very difficult life. That's what he said to Paro. Ma'at vidoim. What more do you want than that? He said it. The pimole.
He was sitting there, you know, vacationing all these years.
Ma'at vidoim. And when he finally, when things settled down, bikesh Yaakov leishay v'shalve, kavtzei olav, rogzei shol Yosef. He had a very difficult life. Very difficult life.
That's why God said to Moshe, you know, in the beginning of Aaron.
What are you complaining about? Yaakov had a very difficult life, and then, so don't complain. Let's see the Malbim. There is no Malbim. The pasuk you give me. So let's leave out the Malbim till later. Okay. Now look at the Mahari Koro. He has a very interesting take on this. Okay. Pasik Yud Gimel. Vayivrach Yaakov Sidei Aram. Vayavod Yisrael B'Yisho V'Yisho Shamar. V'loma Ein Atem Leichem Musar M'Yaakov Avichem. Look at this. What's the Shamar? The Shamar means She Shamar Tzivui Imoi. Whoever listens to their mother. Your mother tells you to do something. Do you listen to your mother? Yaakov Avinu listened to his mother. His mother said, go, run away. Go to my brother Lavan. Sheshamar tzivui imoy b'shvil isha shetziv solav yashavter imo yomim achadim v'holach sham v'omad sham esrim shana. Yaakov Avinu was faithful to his mother for 20 years. For 20 years, that's a long time to listen to your mother. Your mother tells you to do something, so maybe you'll listen to it for 10 minutes. How many people can say that they listened to their mother for 20 years? Now, he's opening up of his Marikor is opening up of your heart. You know, we don't dwell upon this. We don't think about it like that. But he's opening up Marikora, a whole new world of what over here is going on. What was the Nisoyin of Yaakov Avinu? How does this come into play? Rivka's relationship with Yaakov. Rivka, I mean, it's interesting. Yaakov, he listened to her. He begged her. I don't want to do this and steal the brachas. My father will feel me. It's against my nature to be dishonest, and my father will feel me. He'll discover that I'm a fraud. He'll curse me. She said, take the risk. Listen to me, my child. Take the risk. Olai, what's the passage? Olai, kilaloscha, bini.
He didn't hide behind his mother's skirts, though.
Olai, kilaloscha, bini.
He dressed
in his skirt.
Took responsibility.
And now we have another in the Nisoyan. Okay, and now we have another. What's the other Nisoyan? Okay, what is the other Nisoyan? The other Nisoyan is 20 years to listen to his mother. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that he could have fled earlier? I don't know the depth of what he means. The miracle, but he's saying something very deep. He's saying that Yaakov Avinu was a man of his word. If his mother told him, 20, go to my brother Lavan and stay there, yomim achodim, a few days, and a few days turned into 20 years. It seems from Mahari Korah, Yaakov had an option. I don't know how all this plays out. He had an option of running away, of abandoning Lavan and just fleeing. Yet his conduct in the home of Lavan, again, this needs a lot of, you have to fill in a lot of gaps, which I don't know, but I'm just telling you, obviously, just to bring out the point, what he says over here is that Yaakov's conduct in the home of Lavan would not have been the way it's presented in the Torah if not for the instructions of his mother. If he on his own would have gone there to find, to get married or to find some work, things would have played out a lot very differently. The only reason why we find that he stuck it out for 20 years in the way that he did was only because he kept his word to his mother. Now, then what are the details? I don't know. He's not, the Ma'arikar is not telling us that, but the basic idea he is telling us. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling, therefore, his twist, his focus here is, therefore, if you go back into the next words, I'm not going to read it now, but in the Mikra, is that Hashem has a complaint. If Yaakov was faithful to his mother, it's in your nature to be a word, to be true to your word. How much more so should you be faithful to Hashem? Hashem, you took an oath on Har Sinai that you will fulfill Hashem's mitzvahs. Don't tell me you're not capable of being true to your word. You come from good stock. You come from Yaakov Avinu, who was faithful to his mother, to a human being. If you come from a person who can be faithful to a human being, how much more so should you be faithful to a God, to the Ribbono Shel Olam? So what are you doing? Why are you worshipping idols? Why are you making trouble? It's a whole new approach to understand what this pasuk here, by bringing in Rivka into the picture. Something you never expect. Yeah.
No, I'm not a psychologist, but it's often a case where a person who has to be supported by somebody else, a child, resents that arrangement.
Of course.
And that's, I don't know if that plays into what the relationship.
Yaakov was resentful that Lavan was supporting him.
No,
he was working him.
Yeah. Parts. One Klal Yisrael having to be dependent on the Kodesh Baruch Hu, all the good and all that. Oh, but you got to follow my rules, right? That's the relationship. The mitzvahs. And I wonder if that's part of it, that they resented having to follow, and also obviously the strictness of the rules.
That's a general question. That's a general thing of where does it come, rebellion? Where, what are the roots?
Thank you, God, for reminding me what you did for my Zaydi and all that. What
have you done for me? Okay, that's what he was saying. All right, so okay, that's the Nisayon, but we have an obligation. Okay, that's the challenge of life. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. The next pasuk is Vinavi Hela. Now pasuk Yidaldo Vinavi Hela Hashem Es Yisholim Mitzrayim Vinavi Nishmar. So here there's a point. The one they left out. One point I left out over here that comes into play in pasuk Yidaldo. This is something which is a problem. Pasuk Yidgimel begins with Vayavoid Yisrael Beisha. Yaakov was not called Yisrael at that point in time. Not even a hint. The first time the name of Yaakov was changed to Yisrael was after he left. After he finished his term, his service for Lavan, 20 years in Aram, and he had two wives and 11 children. Right, that was on the way out. That was on the way out. When he came out, he was... 20 years, he calls Lavan and Rachel and says, we're leaving. You have any problem with that? You got a problem with leaving? No, we have no problem. We're ready to go. They escape in the middle of the night. He packs up. He runs away. Lavan catches up with him. They have a conversation. And he continues on his way. And he crosses Nachal Yabok. And then who does he meet? He goes back for the Pachat Ketan. He meets the Sar Shel Esav. They wrestle the entire night. And it's at that night, 20 years later, he sees, the Malach says, your name will be changed from Yaakov to Yisrael. And I'm changing your name, and later Hashem will change your name. So the name Yisrael did not come into existence for 20 years from the time when this pasuk begins. Vayivrach Yaakov Sedei Aram. His name is Yaakov and only Yaakov. There is no name Yisrael. And yet it says, Vayavoid Yisrael Beisha. Oh, Yisrael, what do you mean Yisrael? Who is Yisrael? It's not so. There is no Yisrael. So why is the name Yisrael being used? Question. I don't have a good answer. Okay, but now look, Pasuk Yidalit. We have the same parallel. Uvinavi helo Hashem es Yisrael. Here again, we use the word Hashem took the Jewish people, Mimitzrayim. Uvinavi nishmar. And now there's a play on the words, just like it says the end of the previous pasuk, Uvi Isha Shamar. Here it says, Uvinavi Nishmar, and Hashem guarded us through a prophet. Moshe Rabbeinu. This refers specifically to Moshe Rabbeinu. Here as well, Klal Yisrael as a whole is not called Yisrael until we achieve Shlemus, until we achieve perfection. which did not happen at Yetzias Mitzrayim. What?
Yisrael is always, what I mentioned a while ago, was that he katsu v'shimu b'nei Yaakov v'shimu Yisrael al Abichem. And that pasuk, what it brought us, it's Yaakov and Yisrael in the same pasuk. What I wanted to suggest was Yaakov, he was talking about when he used the name Yaakov over things that happened in the past. Yisrael
is the future.
Represents the future.
Oh, okay, okay, interesting. So that's a very nice idea, because then Vayavod Yisrael B'Yishah, it's the future.
Right.
When he worked for 7 years, he was using the Midah of Yisrael.
That's how it works.
Very
it
nice.
Work out most
okay.
of the time.
So you want to say that Yisrael refers to the Midah, even though he did not get the name yet, but it refers to the Midah, so it makes a lot of good sense, is that he worked for 7 years in advance. He worked in advance so that he should merit. The day should come when he would merit to marry
so
Rachel.
True a few times what it says.
And here it works out well. Also here it works out well also. Okay, let's see the Mitzudas pasuk Yudalit. Yudalit says, "V'navi haloi aydei Moshe Rabbeinu nivyoi hela v'yal yadoch yinishma baderch." So both Hashem, the Navi here in this pasuk in both parts is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Navi who brought out the Jewish people, and through Moshe Rabbeinu the Mitzudas David says, "V'al yadoi." Through Moshe, Hoya Nishmar Baderech, the Jewish people were guarded in the 40 years on the road. Ucha Oimer, Hakolba, the Mitzudas is going back to his approach to these Psukim, betrayal. Look at how kind I was to you. I was kind to you, Yaakov Avinu. He was a pauper, he was destitute, and yet when the Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, they came out with enormous wealth. And I provided few prophets to guide you. How then can you be unfaithful to me and deny my existence, deny the fact that I am guarding and protecting you? Rashi, Pasik Yud Dalid, Uvenavi Helo Hashem, V'al Shatem Mivazin Es Hanaviim, Umal Ivin Bidivayim, you mock the prophets. Haloi Binavi Helo, how dare you? The Nevi'im are holy. Look, if not for the Nevi'im, where would you be today? If not for the Av HaNevi'im, Moshe Rabbeinu, you would still be slaves in Egypt. So the institution of prophets is a very holy, noble institution. It's worthy of your donation. It's a good cause. How can you be so unfaithful to the prophets and murder the prophets and mock the prophets? If not for the prophets, where would you be today? Next, let's see the Radak will finish up quickly. A little bit of Radak. Now the Radak really goes into this. We'll leave the Radak because he goes into the next pasuk as well, and the Malam as well. We need to read into the next pasuk. So let's just read. Maybe just read the verse. We'll stop. We'll read the pasuk with the mezuzah. We'll stop. Pasuk Tezvav Hiches Ephraim Tamruim. This word Tamruim is a very troubling word, and all of the commentators they struggle, you can see the frustration in their eyes as they try to give a precise translation for the word tamruim. Mm-hmm. Obviously it relates to the word bitterness, and the and how do we use the word bitterness in this expression? So the Mitzudos, in the very simple level, lashon mar, bitterness, and if we read right away the Mitzudos in Pasuk Tezvav, it says, Hichis ritzon leimar, achar shekol ze yidu li Ephraim. Ephraim refers to Aseres HaShvatim. Im kol zeh, I've been so kind to you. Look how you betrayed me. Hiches la Hashem, you've angered Hashem b'maasim morim. Tamurim, according to the Mitzudos, means bitter deeds. Actions that are bitter in the eyes of Hashem. You speak back to Hashem with chutzpah, with denial, with avodah zarah. You've angered, Ephraim has angered Hashem with ma'asim ro'im, evil deeds that are not just evil, but are bitter. Next words of the pasuk, v'damav olav yitosh. The word yitosh is another hard word, which means to spread. Okay, lo yitosh Hashem amo. What does it mean yitosh? It means to abandon, to release. It depends on the context. The word yitosh is a very hard word to translate as well. The Mitzudos here says, yitosh inyin hispashtus. Kimo vayitosh al hamachane, to spread. In this context, it means to spread. Kilo yitosh Hashem amo v'nachaloso lo yazov. What does it mean, kilo yitosh? Hashem will not spread himself away. In that context, it means to distance himself, to move.
Abandon.
to abandon. But that's not what it means over here. Over here it means, it's related, it's the same idea. It means, in this context, it means hispashtos. It means to expand. The blood upon him will spread. Mitsudos, what does that mean in this context? Vidamav, l'chein, therefore, hadam sheshavach yispatesh olav lokachas nokam. The blood that Ephraim has spilled by murdering the prophets and by murdering innocent people will come back to haunt him. That blood is going to come out of the ground and spread, envelop the perpetrator, envelop the rotzeach, and demand justice. When did this happen in the most obvious case? With Yehoyada. Yehoyada, Zechariah ben Yehoyada, who was murdered. He was a Navi. He was murdered in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, Yom Kippur, when he was giving Musar to the people. So what happened? His blood bubbled for how many years? For 200 years, until Nebuzaradan came and he saw blood and he asked, what's this blood all about? And when they told him, this is the blood of Zechariah, who had been murdered in the Beis HaMikdash for giving the Jewish people Musar not to worship idols, and it was Shabbos Yom Kippur, and he was a Navi in the Beis HaMikdash, and he was Stam Azoy, a good, innocent person. So Nebuzaradan said, I will appease the blood. And he ended up murdering 1.1 million people. The best of Klal Yisrael was murdered. The blood of the victims was poured on the bubbling blood of Zechariah, and the blood of Zechariah was not appeased. So here it was the blood spread. The dam of the blood that you spilled, Olav Yitosh, will spread upon you. V'cherpaso, your shame, your acts of shame, of murder. Yashiv loy Adonav, who is Adonav? Also very complicated. Everyone says Hashem. Your master, the Ribbono Shel Olam, will return your disgrace to you. So the words of the Mitzvah were done. The Cherpasoi, Mash Chedav Klapi Ma'alil Hachlifa BeEgalei Hazav. Your disgrace of exchanging Hashem for Agolim. Hinei Hakel. So Mitzvah makes it clear as day that the word Adonav in this pasuk refers to Hashem. Not everyone will agree with the Mitzvah. Who Hakel? Who Adonav? Umoishal Bo? Ugmul Ma'asav Yashiv Lo? The day of reckoning will come for your sins. We'll continue on Mitzvah on Monday.
Two big yards.